Welcome to the show. At Technogram, Reddington's podcast channel, we unearth untold tech stories from the tech world. Today, we are joined by a tech enthusiast and a Reddington leader who has a proven track record of driving business and growth. He's a seasoned industry veteran with a wealth of stories that have shaped the distribution landscape. Let's welcome Sayantan Dev, president at Reddington Middle East and Africa. Sayantan, an absolute pleasure to have you here.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Sayantan, it's been close to a decade since I've known you. I remember that we were introduced back in 2017 when we did assets such as Value Journal and Value Stories. And you're one person who I have seen disrupting not only how Reddington has done its business, especially in the enterprise space, but also the kind of roles that you've undertaken over the years. I remember our first conversation started with virtualized missions. And as you were dominating the market with the offerings, you unearthed the potential of data analytics as a business unit. For many of the analytics vendor, distribution as a model was something that was created in consultation with you. And you grew the cloud business by 5 times its revenue, bringing it close to almost $100 million. And just when we thought we have possibly done everything in distribution, DigiGlass was born, a channel-led MSSP practice, which I believe now the terminology is MSSD, Managed Security Services Distributor. So, Sayantan, to anybody who has followed you, you have always been one step ahead of what's next. So there must be a secret formula or a regime that you follow to make this happen.
So thank you very much for the kind words. But I would start by saying that I'm standing on the shoulders of giants. And a lot of it has to be given to the culture that we have developed within our organization over the years. There is no secret formula. If it is there, you know, I would not share that, but it's very, very basic about the fundamental thing about remaining very close to your market, being passionate about your business, remaining true to the purpose of the organization, which is about helping our customers adopt new innovations and technologies better, easier, making sure that they're making the most of the investments that they make in technology. And a lot of innovations are happening in the world, but the adoption is not fast enough. Mm-hmm. And more so in the markets that we operate in. We, as Reddington, operate mostly in emerging markets. So we take pride in helping solve a big problem of, bridging that gap of adoption versus innovation. And in the process, making sure that the benefits go to the last mile and the society as a whole in the geographies and markets that we operate in. So to come back to your point about, during this journey, making many changes, it's about spotting the trends very early, understanding.
But that is the challenge that most people have, understanding that this is the bet that they should take for the future. So is there any mantra that you have in terms of spotting?
So it is, correct. So, first of all, we embrace changes. That is something we always see opportunities in disruption. The second part is we have to understand our role very well in the market, spotting those trends, what is going on. And I'll give you some examples of that early enough. And what are the implications of that? What problems hence would be required to be solved? Is it a good problem to solve? And finally, you also have to get the commercial model right. I mean, the business, if it is not sustainable, you don't get a good business out of it, it is not sustainable. So all that pieces putting together and then, remaining very true to our purpose is what we do well. Just to give you some examples, that even if you look at advanced analytics and all the large language models and everything, all the models that are in use today, is because there is so much of data available, there is computing resources available to process that data and store that data. And you can run those models and algorithms to process that data. Just to give you an example, do you know how much data today is produced every day? On a daily basis.
In terabytes?
It is in 2.5 quintillion bytes of data. Which is 1 quintillion is basically a billion, okay, or a billion trillion, whatever way you mm-hmm. want to see it. Just to give you another perspective, it is 57.5 billion iPhones full of data. Okay, just to give you another
perspective.
And that amount of data is getting produced today, every day. Now, the statistical models, the more data you provide the model and the ability to process that data, run those algorithms,
mm-hmm.
is what has been made available much later. So that's why the innovations can happen much faster. Adoption can happen at a much wider scale.
Mm-hmm.
One is when cloud computing came to play, you know, you democratized technology for the wider base. Now, running a very high computing infrastructure was no more the right of the Fortune 100 companies or a large enterprise.
Everybody had access.
Everybody had access because the hyperscalers and the cloud computing made very high level of computing resources and everything else accessible to the SMBs and individual users and all of that. Along with that, and so that's the computing resources and everything around it. The speed of access also improved drastically. The internet penetration across, reached households in many emerging markets.
Yeah.
So all these things were coming together. We figured out that this cloud computing is going to be a game changer, a disruption in a very big way, because precisely of the reason that I told you now. But we didn't have a very clear model around how to be a good middle tier partner in this entire ecosystem. And today, see how it has evolved, because the cloud and the supply chain of softwares is a far more complex subject
mm-hmm.
than the basic hardware distribution. And that was a good problem to solve. And that, some of that investments and in resources and the time and the executive mindshare that we gave that time is reaping benefit, not only for Redington, because we are a middle tier company, the entire ecosystem, including the innovators and the users and the customers at large, get the benefit out of that. Similarly, we also thought through about when data is getting democratized and technology will make sure that that level of computing is available and our ability to handle such large amount of data is made available across the masses. The analytics and the advanced analytics solutions, and also the data storage, the entire ecosystem of data storage to creating the data pipeline, your unstructured and unstructured data, all this put together will be adopted at a much higher scale.
Right.
We did anticipate that. And we had to help fast track that. And in the process, we created a nice business out of it. So that was the genesis of that business unit.
Yeah.
And literally, I had to reach out to many of the these innovators, explaining them, how the entire ecosystem along with themselves are going to benefit from this model, because they were never used to this model.
Response like back then?
I mean, in the subconscious mind, they also knew that they are going to have a capacity problem.
Mm-hmm.
They were very direct organizations, or they are very few limited channel.
Right.
But when you need, when there is an opportunity to scale that business and help get their product to larger masses in very difficult markets also, which is a requirement today, they knew that they knew always in their mind, in a very subconscious way, that they will have a capacity problem, but did not exactly know exactly who is going to solve that problem.
Right.
So we had many meaningful discussions, and you don't get everything right in the first go.
Sure.
You be at it, do many experimentations. The company and the culture allows you to fail fast, to encourage experimentation, and then you kind of go about improving the models, and then you reach maturity, and that's how every business is born.
I purposefully left out AI because I know that you picked up on it much before the market was talking about it as well. So my question is, how do you see the space of AI evolving, and what role does Redington and its partners will play?
Well, so the evolution of AI has, and the reason of its evolving every day faster than before, goes back to the same reason that you now have the ability to deal with a large set of data You have high computing available today. Even that is not enough for running those large language models. So technology on that side has evolved so much that you can run those models pretty seamlessly on the computing infrastructure available today. We have been using AI in different forms for quite some time. But it is interesting to note the evolution of AI, so to speak. The major breakthrough in AI has been what you must be knowing as the neural networks, which is about replicating how the human brain looks like and functions. And the first form of neural network was built way back in 1957 by Frank Rosenblatt. It's a pretty simplified structure with one layer of nodes. But the major breakthrough happened much later, almost 30 years later, in the University of Toronto, by somebody who is known as the godfather of artificial intelligence,
okay,
which is Geoffrey Hinton.
Mm-hmm.
He made a much more evolved version of the neural network with multiple layers, and then which can actually started learning the way human beings, as they grow up, start to differentiate between different objects, understand, recognize different objects, which is about, you know, feeding that system with multiple data and naming it, and then up to the point when the system automatically can differentiate between an apple and an orange.
Right.
So that was one major breakthrough. And then obviously that started, you know, what we know as deep learning and machine learning.
Yes.
Recognizing human handwriting, mm-hmm, is the function of deep learning. All the recommendation engines, etc., that you see,
right,
you know, in the machine learning, which is nothing but constantly understanding your behavior and then being able to rightly advise you something to your liking, and so on and so forth. And then another very important development happened when there was reinforcement learning developed much later, which started learning in a slightly more smarter way, that there was a system of reward and penalty.
Mm-hmm.
For doing the right things, you get, the system gets rewarded, and then you know that you need to do more of that.
Right.
And you get penalized for doing the wrong things, and then you should stop doing that. So pretty much. So rather than giving tons of data and, you know, literally telling the system that what is what, and then it starts learning.
Right.
These are slightly more smarter ways. And so numerous other developments started happening, but these things were possible because computer science,
mm-hmm,
evolved so much. At the same time, your data management platforms, our ability to compute a very large set of data, running algorithms, all those things came together. The other aspect of the developments that are happening now is the systems are multimodal,
mm-hmm,
which means that it understands natural languages, and not just in one form. It just doesn't understand their written scripts. It can recognize voices, and you can give a command in voice command, and the system can understand and respond back,
yeah,
to you in the language that you understand. It can recognize visuals, so
right,
it is multimodal, and that means that it can be now be made available to a much larger mass.
Yeah. So the likes of your Siri and your Google Alexa, right?
Absolutely,
yeah,
absolutely, and even those, you know, the different applications. I'll just give you an example. Think about a farmer in a rural area in India,
mm-hmm,
who is not computer literate or very basic level of literacy. I mean, he cannot be denied the benefits of a good, let's say, environmental application,
mm-hmm,
or an agricultural lab, which can help him get better productivity from his farmland, just because he's not a computer literate.
Mm-hmm.
you know. And so this, we will see an evolution of these devices, and far more people can get benefited out of the systems now, because in the, you know, the systems are now multimodal and it can reach out to many. Now, this is how the technology has evolved and what are the implications in terms of what it means to the larger mass. And which obviously means that there is now a good opportunity for us to help these innovations take to a larger mass.
Yeah.
And that's when we come in and we play a role of an ideal middle tier company, which will make this technology's adoption easier. That's pretty much the role that we need to take in this and the larger ecosystem of our channel partners.
Right. So when it comes to any kind of change, though people know that they have to change, I think a lot of us are always very not very receptive to that change. So for our channel partners, it's great to know that we are already preparing them and gearing them up to face the next wave.
Absolutely.
Coming back to the evolution of how the tech industry has been evolving, from hardware to software to IoT to AI. In the recent past, the underlying model of business, which everybody is now focusing on, is the subscription business. On the other side, when it comes to end customers, their decision making has changed from being brand specific to solution efficiency to outcome based, and finally outcome based on usage. These intersecting lines of subscription to outcome seem to be where the future is. I'd like to know, how is Redington preparing?
Look, I'll first go back to your point about how end user behavior has changed.
Yes.
And very rightly.
Yeah.
Which is about being concerned about the outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
The age of fashion IT is over, like
right.
we say.
Mm-hmm.
End customer has a business problem or to solve,
mm-hmm.
and he wants to only pay for the usage of a system which is solving that problem.
Right.
And he has a desired outcome and he pays for that outcome to be received. And his preferred way of consuming that is, you know, pay as you go.
Right.
So there is this huge shift in the way customers want to consume softwares particularly. And the world is also moving from a hardware-driven world to a software-driven world.
Already it's happening.
It's happening. It's a chunk of our workloads are shifting to the software side. So
yeah.
you have a data center which is possibly software, you know, mostly a software-defined data center. The intelligence lies in the software and a commoditized hardware.
Hmm.
This is how it is going, and pretty much everywhere. If you look at a 5G telecom provider's network, it will look very different from what it used to be before.
Mm-hmm.
There is no towers, etc. It looks like a data center.
Okay.
Now it looks like a data center because it is a data center.
Right.
The software supply chain is the most complex today.
Yeah.
It's a much bigger problem to solve, where the customers see value in mm-hmm. us today. And we have put our cart before the horse in that. We have created our platform. To solve that problem and giving customers, our reseller partners to start with a single pane of glass,
mm-hmm.
From where they can manage their different software business, software and cloud business and what have you. The complexity is, like we were discussing
yes.
a while back, is only increasing in the software world. So the role of supply chain, the role of creating capacity, the amount of aggregation now required, has gone up to a different notch, and it will only going to increase. So we are preparing and we have made our investments and we have changed our models in a way to support that universe.
Dealing with over 20 countries in MEA region with extremely diverse portfolios, extremely difficult geopolitical situations, operation challenges and what have you. So how does Redington always get the emerging market right when it comes to prioritizing the channel partners?
Redington's mission has been to bridge that gap of adoption and innovation.
Mm-hmm.
And we take pride in doing that, and we put all our mind and efforts and building a business around solving that problem. And when you go to emerging problem, that is even magnified because different countries, even in within our region, are in different stages of evolution.
Right.
So, and it is a very diverse region, so to speak. There are different nationalities. Every country has its own dynamics, own challenges, own advantages.
The intricacies are like in many levels. Right?
Absolutely. So we have created our business by building it, you know, closer to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
We are possibly present, not possibly, we are actually present in the markets that we operate in most number of countries, with our presence with warehouses and our in offices,
right,
established entity, the ability to deal in the local currencies in those mm-hmm. countries, being very close to the customers, and not trying to remotely manage
right.
those problems, which sometimes people get wrong. One size doesn't fit all in such a diversified markets that we operate in. So we have making custom-made solutions for each of these markets, and that's how we manage such a diverse region.
I was talking to KD a couple of weeks ago, and he shared with me insights from your much-fabled Mount Kenya trip. Hearing that gave me goosebumps. I'd like to know, what was that one learning that you've had, which you have incorporated in your life and you continue to reap rewards from it?
I think one learning is supreme, which is if you really want to get your teams together, high-performing teams together, build a new, come get them together, build a new team, climb a mountain together.
Right. Is there anything that you remember from there that was...
There was one stretch I was struggling very much, and it was there. That mountain stretch also has a lot of wildlife, etc.,
right,
out there. And the resilience and to get back and do the summit together. I was pretty easy. I also know that, you know, some of the people might be very worried, you know, in anticipation of all that. I mean, got a bit late for some of us.
I know that you were completely unfazed.
I learned also that day that I can take bigger risks.
Right.
I can take, you know, crisis one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get too panic-stricken.
Right.
When things are not okay.
Yeah.
And I also learned that I can break bigger problems into smaller ones, and if I decide to do the summit, we'll do it together. I also made lifetime friends over there. Generally, you know, we have had, you know, in this journey, we have some of us have been together for quite some time.
Sure,
you
yeah.
know, we just become family now.
Yeah. You finished 16 years with the company.
Yes. So, but in that one journey, you make realizations of lots of, I would say most of the things are very, very positive, and given a chance, if I'm faced with another problem, or if I'm faced with any team building situation, I would again take the team and climb a mountain together.
Amazing. So I think in your answer, you've also kind of described the kind of leader that you are. Cool, calm and collected, and always looking at things not like a mountain, but by having it in smaller groups.
Thank you. I mean, it doesn't come out very naturally. Yeah, when faced with a real crisis, I think I have an ability to think through the different options, break the bigger problem into smaller ones, take them one at a time, not thinking about the final outcome, but not thinking about the result too much, focusing on the process, you know, I can do that well.
Wonderful. That's also a learning for all of us. So thank you for that. Sayantan, I would like to end our conversation from where I started. Change and disruption are today's undeniable realities. What would be your recommendation to those who are facing it today on how to deal with this?
It's very simple. One has to be comfortable with change, and not just comfortable at dreading them.
We embrace it.
We embrace and we anticipate it. And the usual discussion is about how can we make the most of this new opportunity that arises out of this change, and not, you know, a fear-mongering.
Right.
side. We don't talk about what's going to happen to this model. You know, we have done business one kind of a way, and then if it is shifting this way, are we going to get obliterated? You know, but that's not the line of discussion that goes on in this company. So change is going to be even more inevitable. And the second part is we are very true to our route to market, which is a partner-driven model. So that's why, you know, you mentioned sometimes about the managed security services in a distribution model.
Yeah.
Those are, you know, I mean, not many people tried that, but, you know, fundamentally it comes from solving one particular problem, but remaining true to your route to market, which is channel. That practice requires building a lot of capabilities, and there are many moving parts. You have to build different assets, different talent profile that you need to attract and retain. And it's a completely different business model on one hand than traditional distribution. And on the other hand, there is no model available where you can do that through a two-tier model. So those are examples of changes that we have had to think through, like cloud example that I gave you earlier. So it's very basic, fundamental thing is about be comfortable and with change, be excited about change. Every change will, if things are done well, will bring new opportunities. Try to find out what are the implications of those changes and what meaningful role one can play in that scenario. And that's how you build great businesses and you meet your purpose of helping the larger ecosystem achieve goals.
Amazing. Thank you, Sayantan. There's been a lot of learnings. I'm sure whoever listening to this it's going to be left with a lot of insights that they never thought was possible. Like some really insightful takeaways from you and this conversation here today. So thank you so much for your time. And I look forward to talking to you as always in the future.
Thank you very much.